It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, it's good being with you today, and I'm glad that you joined me so that we can study the Word of God together. Now, we continue our study today in the book of Romans in chapter 6. This is where Paul says in verses 15 through 18, he says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Well, in these verses 15 through 18, we see that Paul is saying, we become servants to whom we obey. And I think that's pretty common sense when we think about that. Well, Paul goes on to ask, do we have a license to sin simply because we're under grace and we're saved? Well, and he says, absolutely not in verse 15. Then he says to realize that whether you choose to yield yourself to sin or yield yourself to righteous obedience, you will be the servant to the one or the other. This is Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Well, then in verse 17 and 18, he says, "Thank God you were the slaves of sin, but because you listened to sound doctrine," in other words, good teaching, "sound teaching brought to you, you became moral servants doing what is right." And now we pick up our study today in Romans chapter 6, verses 19 through 23, and we read those verses, and we see there that the motivation for serving God. Paul in verse 19 says, "I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." Well, what Paul seems to be saying here is that you've been weak in the flesh, which has been proven by letting your body be used for sin, which in turn produced more sin. He goes on to say, just as sin led to more sin in your body, you need to do right, because serving what is right and holy leads to more holiness. Well, then in verses 21 through 21, he says that when you serve sin, you are not ruled by what was right. In those verses, starting with verse 20 and then reading through verse 21, Paul says in verse 20, "For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness." Verse 21 goes on to say, "Now, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." He said, what were the consequences of what you did while serving sin? Well, the result of serving sin is that it produces death, according to the Word of God. And that's, Paul is trying to get across to the people here at Rome. He's trying to let people know this. And then we see in verse 22, he says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye, your fruit unto righteousness and the end, everlasting life." Well, the fruit of serving sin is death, but the fruit of serving righteousness is life. And this is what he's saying, because if you do right, then you're going to see everlasting life. It's going to produce life. In other words, you have an everlasting life, and now because of the fruit that you produce, you're going to see that the fruit in your life is bringing forth everlasting life. Now, you're not giving the everlasting life, but you're going to help produce life in another person, eternal life, by letting Jesus Christ shine through you, and letting him, letting that person know that it's through Jesus Christ that life does come, eternal life. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 says, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Well, in John chapter 8 and verse 36, it says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, Paul is not teaching in our verses that we're looking at in Romans here. He's not teaching in these verses, chapter 6 and verses 20 through 21 and down through verse 22. He's not teaching that a person is saved by doing righteous. He's saying that a person lives because they are righteous. And the way they become righteous is through Jesus Christ. Well, notice once again in verse 22 it says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, your fruit unto righteous, unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life." We give our hearts and lives to the Lord, and we live for him. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. We live for him. He says the end thereof is going to be everlasting life. What that means is that one day we're going to see the Lord personally. The real person is not going to die. My soul will never die, and I will be with the Lord forever. But keep this in mind. Those who are not saved, their souls live on forever as well. And the Bible teaches that they have an everlasting death, constantly dying but never ceasing to be, constantly tormented. Not because God wanted that for these people who never trusted him as Savior, but these people suffer because they have chosen to do the things that bring forth death. In other words, they have not chosen life. They have not chosen Jesus Christ as Savior. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 once again says, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Well, now notice something else here in verse 23 of Romans chapter 6. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Well, the wages or the payoff of sin is death. Paul's saying that here, and he's speaking under the inspiration of God. He says the payoff of sin is death, but God gives the gift of eternal life, and this life comes through and because of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 2 and verse 28, it says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Well, in chapter 6 of Romans, we see that it speaks of baptism and sin. By baptism, we identify ourselves. Now, I'm speaking of water baptism here. By water baptism, we identify ourselves with Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. As we are baptized, we acknowledge that we believe he was crucified, he died, he was buried, and that he was resurrected from the dead. Because we have believed and trusted in him as Savior, believe that he did die, was buried, and rose from the dead, we have the privilege of being identified with him in water baptism. Now, once again, water baptism does not save you or anyone else. Water baptism is the symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And it's a great privilege that we have as saved people to be identified with our Lord in water baptism. Because of our union with Christ, sin no longer holds us to the extent it did before we were saved. Now, this is seen in chapter 6 that we're finishing here, and sin is to no longer have dominion over us. And we can reckon ourselves to be dead indeed to sin. We do not have to fear being in eternity separated from God because we have, it's because we have the God of eternity as our Savior. And I can just simply say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Well, let's leave chapter 6 of Romans and let's go on into chapter 7. Now, the objectives in studying chapter 7 of the book of Romans, first of all, is to understand the Christian's relationship to the law of Moses. And secondly, it's to comprehend the deliverance from sin one can have. Now, I'm sure there are other objectives, but these are the two objectives that I want to look at. We want to look at these objectives as we go through chapter 7. When verse 1, Paul says in the first part of that verse, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law." Well, Paul here is speaking here primarily to the Jews. The law spoken of here is most likely the Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments that Paul is referring to here in Romans chapter 7 and verse 1. Well, he goes on to say in that verse, "How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth." Let's read that verse together now. He says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth." Well, now the law has dominion over those who live under the law. In other words, they have given themselves to trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, the person who does this is under the power, its power, the law, and that person is exposed to its penalties. Separation has taken place between Christians and the law, in which they have become dead to it. They are not now to attempt to draw their life and peace from the law, but from that new source with which they are connected by the gospel. That new source, of course, is our Savior. We see that we have victory in our lives as saved people through the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit take care of us, for letting the Holy Spirit guide and direct our paths. Well, in verse 2 of Romans chapter 7, it says, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. What Paul is saying here is a married woman is bound to her husband while he lives. It's pretty simple there. That's straightforward. But it goes on to say, when her husband is dead, she is discharged from the law by which she was bound to him. Well, once again, that's using spiritual common sense as we study the Scriptures. By the way, let me say that the Scriptures actually interpret themselves. If you find yourself saying, "Well, I really don't understand the verse that I'm reading," well, you need to pray and ask God to lead you and guide you. Then you will need to keep reading, because the Scripture that you're reading will be explained as you read other Scriptures with it. The best commentary for the Bible is the Bible itself. Well, God loves you today. If you're a saved person, He loves you, and He loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son that you could be saved. And if you're saved today, you need to be serving Him, telling other people about Jesus Christ. And if you've never trusted Him, the good news is that it's a free gift of salvation that He's offering you. If you'll trust Him, if you're willing to say, "Lord Jesus, my mind has been changed. I now receive you as my Savior. I can't save myself. I know that, and I'm going to trust you to save me." If you'll trust Him, ask Him to come into your heart, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.